The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Michael Fabiano. Fabs has been so busy, and many of you have been asking, when are we going to hear on the fantasy football end of things with free agency in the NFL and the NFL draft? And today is a day where we will catch up with Michael Fabiano. I want plenty of time on today's show to go through lots of things that that happened over the weekend, including the Diamondbacks and this week with Bryce Harper coming into town on Thursday later this week. We'll get into that. I think later this week the Suns will introduce their new coach. And if the Golden Knights can be playing this well in just their inaugural season and they can get this far, I'm hooked on watching the Knights. I watched them yesterday start to finish. Why can't the Arizona Coyotes be considered this coming year to do something, anything? Find a good goaltender who's had success, or find a goaltender who's done a nice job, which I think they have in Ranta. But I've been watching Vegas, and what a terrific story that is. It's also a story of Becky Hammon that I want to get into on today's show. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to interview Becky Hammon to be the head coach of the team. I like this, and I will explain why I like this. Some of you will not like this. Some of you will never get over the idea of a female being in a position of authority. It's just how some people are. My weekend was great. I was in Chicago with my family, all of my family. Guys, when you get into a point, if you're killing it and you're in your 20s and your 30s and even into your early 40s and you're just killing, you're making money hand over fist, you feel like you got the world by the balls, you're doing your thing, everything's going well, relationships are great, you've got the car, you got the house, you got all that stuff. Trust me on this, as you get older, that stuff doesn't mean nearly as much as sitting in a gym and watching your daughter who tore her ACL twice in college in soccer. She got there on a soccer scholarship, and yet when she graduated, which she did on Saturday afternoon, I was just a baby when she walked in. I looked at her and she made eye contact with me, and it was over. It was just over. I was, whew, mess. I had that whole lump in the throat thing when they called out her name and she walked across and all that. And it's the third child that has graduated from college. It's just awesome. And we have one more to go. So it was a weekend where when you do Chicago and it's just you and your wife and your four kids and you're lifting and you're Ubering and you're going to the Field Museum and you're going to Lincoln Park Zoo and you find yourself in Lincoln Park at a little Italian joint that is everybody that's going to the theater except for the six Sessmatts who just were tooling around. So we stuck out like sore thumbs and we killed bottles of wine and ate great food and laughed and went and got ice cream and took the train around. All that cool stuff far supersedes the killing it part. Okay. So I'm just giving you that, not as mentor to mentee. You don't care. You want your sports. You want me to get off this high horse, but this is who I am. I love this weekend. This weekend was great. Came back centered, pumped up, psyched up. Love where we are with the company. Love where the people I work with outside of Eric occasionally and Jared. It's all good. And also this week, I'm going to have Tiger and Phil and Ricky Fowler playing together in the Players Championship on Thursday. Tiger and Phil are paired up, and Fowler was put with them this coming Thursday. So I've got a week where this isn't going to feel like, for those of you, it's Monday, blah. Come on. Look towards the weekend. The weekend's like every day. Michael Fabiano here in about 25 minutes. What did you do this weekend, E? Where were you? What did you do? Did you do anything interesting, anything fun?
I got my boss's tickets to the Rising game. That was fun.
The Rising game?
Yeah. They played LA Galaxy 2, who had, I guess, only won like three games all year. And the Rising beat them, which was fun.
Yeah. A lot of people. Yeah.
Dollar Beer Night equals record-setting crowd.
Yeah.
Dollar Beer Night paired with a Friday night game against a team from Los Angeles equals a big crowd. But it was really fun.
Was it a good-looking crowd, or was it a sloppy crowd because it was Dollar Beer Night?
Well, where I was sitting, everyone was good-looking. The common folks that weren't sitting in the high dollar ticket, your high dollar tickets. I can't speak for everyone, but it was a good time.
Nice.
Other than that, just watched a lot of NBA playoffs, watched a lot of NHL playoffs.
Are you caught up in Vegas?
Decompress. Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching them yesterday on NBCSN, which is hard for me to find. There's really nothing there that I want to see consistently. And I watched it from start to finish yesterday afternoon in my office.
And I'm guessing the NHL does not want them to get to the finals or win the cup.
Why?
Because
why do you think that?
Because every single expansion team that starts up from this point forward is going to want the exact same type of prospects and slip through the cracks guys that Vegas got.
Do you think the NHL wanted some of that, though?
Maybe.
Do you think the NHL, do you think that there's something fishy about Vegas getting all the way to this point?
Too long of a conversation for the next four minutes.
But that's a, did I wonder what you just brought up? Yes, I did. Like, how is it Vegas just comes in and gets a team, and all of a sudden Vegas goes all the way?
Oh, they have a really good goaltender, and they have enough young, promising players who are having absolutely career years, guys that were just sort of castaways and leftovers, and you're good, but you're not really in our plans type.
When you're watching them, are you like me wondering, why can't Arizona do this?
Oh, it's a bad look for the Coyotes. I mean, I'm sure that
it is.
And especially because, as you and I have talked about on this show, Vegas is going to become major competition for the Valley for big sporting events. You know, when the Raiders get there,
they're getting the Super Bowl.
Now the Golden Knights are dominant in hockey, and the Coyotes are on a nice long dry spell of
siesta.
Yeah, no playoffs. Well,
but does this what is going on in Vegas? I think it impacts Arizona in this regard. It's gonna speed up the idea of an NBA team going to Las Vegas because they're selling out T-Mobile.
Yep.
Right. It's gonna speed up the idea of a Major League Baseball team showing up in Las Vegas,
and that makes perfect sense.
Okay, so let's just use this as an example. Later this week, Bryce Harper comes here. He's gonna be a free agent. And he's going to demand almost $1 billion, $500 million, $500 million on the open market is what he's going to get. Bryce Harper's from Las Vegas. Somebody's going to come along and say, you know, we should put a team down there and we should go pursue Bryce Harper. It's going to happen. The NBA, Robert Sarver has got to be sitting over there with what's going on with the building craze down here. And these teams all angling and, you know, trying to secretly talk behind the scenes. He's got to be looking at Las Vegas and Seattle and saying, well, if they're not going to do it here in Phoenix, I think I have some leverage in this whole deal. So what's going on with the Vegas Knights certainly is something that people here in Phoenix better be watching, because that city is going to come after these other teams. And the allure of we can attract free agents to Las Vegas, if they, when they legalize gambling, and it's coming probably sometime this year, will the allure of Las Vegas lessen? Meaning, why do I have to go to Las Vegas to go gamble when I can just do it here? Are there going to be big time resorts that are going to pop up suddenly? And companies like MGM going to be sitting there saying, well, we're not seeing what we once saw because people came to Las Vegas. Once gambling is legalized, does Vegas lose its edge? But in the interim, with these teams now coming in, and you can see dirt being moved and a stadium being built for the Raiders, like Eric alluded to, and what's going on with the Golden Knights, and they have this beautiful facility in T-Mobile Arena, while we're down here arguing and maneuvering, we're spread out all over the valley to have our own space, which probably doesn't do much good for anybody, including Arizona State. Arizona State's sitting there with a 73,000-seat barn. It's probably going to be put down to 60,000-seat barn. But it's on Ray Anderson and Michael Crow to go fill that with more than seven events a year. Hey, advertiser, we want you to come advertise in Sun Devil Stadium. Well, that's great. What do we get? Well, you get six or seven college football games. Okay, what else do we get? Well, you get six or seven college football games because there's nothing else going on inside that stadium. That's pretty hard. It's a pretty hard model to go out and monetize if you're a sports owner. A female coaching the NBA shouldn't be a topic of discussion, but because it's sports and some guys just can't move on, it is. I'll explain about that story, that angle, and then Michael Fabiano on a Monday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Good Monday morning. We are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, you've got to protect what matters most, and that means life insurance. Have you thought about life insurance for your family? Have you thought about life insurance on yourself? You can go online to Sagicor Now. Log on there, get your free quote. No agent, no hassle. Just go right through the process and do it at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, fantasy football stuff here in the offseason, a deep dive with him in about 10 minutes. So in our country, women serve as generals. They serve as U.S. states and leaders of nations, governors of U.S. states. Women lead companies. They lead universities. We had a female that ran for president of this country. So why should a head basketball coach who's not a man be a big deal sitting here in 2018? Why should that even be a topic of discussion? In my view, it should not be. When people say, well, it's sports, and if you haven't played the game, then you, if you've not played professionally, then you're just not qualified. And having a woman be involved, come on, are you kidding me? Well, Becky Hammon is going to interview for the Milwaukee Bucks head coaching job. I don't know if the Suns reached out to her or not. I think if they would have, or if she reached out to them, it would have made its way through the social scene. The idea of Becky Hammon not having played in the NBA, played at the highest level, I guess, let's just go through this. So Greg Popovich is the highest paid coach in the NBA. He's won 5 championships with the San Antonio Spurs. He never played professionally. He played at Air Force. Brad Stevens. Al Horford said after the game the other night on the inbounds pass that he is a genius. Brad Stevens played last in 1999. He played at Division III DePauw, not DePaul, DePauw University, DePauw College. And I may even be pronouncing that incorrectly. Tom Thibodeau, good defensive mind, last played basketball Division III Salem State. He's paid $8 million a year to coach the Minnesota Timberwolves. Didn't play in the NBA. Stan Van Gundy, $7 million per season to coach the Detroit Pistons. He played at Division III Sonny Brockport. Didn't play in the NBA. Eric Spoelstra led the Miami Heat to 2 NBA titles. Played last at the University of Portland in 1992. So when I hear this stuff about can't have a female coach in the NBA, it's complete BS. It's nonsense. Pop saw enough in her at San Antonio. And by the way, for those of you that just think that anything San Antonio does is wrong versus Phoenix because you're still wound up over Robert Horry and the hip check on Steve Nash, get over it. People that like to hate on the Spurs, I don't know. Would you rather have where the Spurs have been in the last 8 years versus what's gone on here in Phoenix? I think they have a pretty good feel as to what to do and how to run a successful NBA franchise versus the nonsense that's gone on here. So when Greg Popovich hires Becky Hammon, and Becky Hammon is on his sideline, and Becky Hammon is being asked now to interview to be the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Doesn't mean she's getting the job. But it's nice to see progression within sports. It is nice to see people in sports start to open their minds up that we are not living in the age of caveman. See cow, kill cow, eat cow. Becky Hammon has a lot of positive qualities about her as a coach from what I've been able to read. I've never seen her coach. But I've read enough from enough people, and I look at just Greg Popovich alone saying, come be on my staff. This isn't some PR thing like I've seen happen with women in sports, in pro sports. Yeah, we'll bring a woman in, we'll parade her around, they'll take some shots and make a story out of it, and then we'll never hear from her again. We need to do that. So I hope that Becky Hammon gets the interview and it is a fair interview. It doesn't mean she has to get the job. She gets the job, great. Best person qualified, most person qualified. But whenever somebody says to me, well, you can't have a woman in sports. We have women that are running big companies. It should not even be a topic of mine. It shouldn't. But I felt like driving in and seeing some of the stuff that was on social and even some of the stuff in the email. Oh, you're going to make a big deal out of Becky Hammon. You're going to take up your stance again. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. Our friend Peter King announced over the weekend that he is leaving the Monday Morning Quarterback. Peter has been coming on this show on a pretty consistent basis for the better part. What did you say, Eric? 3 years now? Four
probably
years?
About 4 years.
4 years now. Were you surprised by Peter's announcement?
Yes and no. I mean, we live in an ever-evolving media world where people hopscotch from one big company to another, so it didn't shock me.
29 years he's been at SI.
Didn't shock me.
SI's had layoffs.
And it's a good move for Peter.
SI's had people that have walked away.
And it's a coup for NBC Sports because they're going to get a lot of eyeballs on that website.
So have you did you read Peter today?
Did not.
So he brought up the point of he's tired of being in a space where people want a mock draft for 2019 the week after the mock draft for 2018 is over.
I'll get used to it. That's never going to change.
But it's very well put because that crap doesn't fly for me. And that crap for Peter, I know, doesn't fly. And it's great that a company like NBC, he's going to do some Olympic stuff too. Mm-hmm. He's going to get outside of football, which I think is smart.
But you two are both in the minority because people love look-aheads. People love lists. People love
numbers. But not everybody.
Numbers.
Not everybody.
But more people do than don't.
Depends on the circles you run in. The circles I run in, I don't have people that say, what do you think about the 2019 NFL draft?
But there's a reason ESPN keeps pushing out their 2019 drafts and 2019,
sure.
Too early to tell, top 25 college football, 2019, post-spring, top 25 college football.
And there's also a reason why they've had layoffs. And there's a reason why their shareholders have said, get out of here. And there's a reason why their site is not viewed as much as it once was. And there's a reason why many of their shows aren't viewed like they once were. Because they've decided to just go out and put that crap out every single day. And it doesn't fly with the masses like it once did. It's not as unique as it once was. And you can go find it in a lot of different places. It's why we don't sit here at this company. There's never going to be a day where I say, here's the top 50 high school players. It's not happening here. It's just not. Because that's damaging. It's damaging. It's only good for those 50 people. But who's to say that we've got it all figured out? Who's to say, well, you're Sports 360 AZ? Yeah, we are. And that's why we do it this way. We don't go out. We put up GPAs. We don't put up, well, you're the top fifth, you're the fifth best kicker. Or you're the fifth best quarterback. Well, who's to say that? Maybe there's some kids that don't have the athletic training or can afford to go to the quarterback guru or the kicking guru or the kicking camp that gets them noticed. So I totally respect where Peter's coming from, where he can just look at this and turn his head and say, you know, this isn't quite where I want to be. To Eric's point, doesn't mean that there isn't a space for it. It's just there's spaces to do what I deem as better content, as digging deeper, as giving us much more than just that. We don't need to be cotton candy. There's plenty of places to go get that stuff. Michael Fabiano, speaking of cotton candy, there is a space for it because you guys do care about the fantasy football thing. We'll have Michael on next, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now back by popular demand. Actually, everybody's just saying, what's going on? Why haven't we heard from Fabs yet, Brad, on the draft, on free agency? It's because he's a busy guy, the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. And NFL.com. Now that the draft is behind us, free agency is behind us. A deep dive with Michael on winners, losers, guys you're going to stay away from, and most importantly, how many drafts have you already done for the upcoming season? How many here, Michael? And it's good to hear your voice, by the way.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, too. You know, I'm in the midst of the first draft. It's a mock draft that will end up being on NFL.com at some point, and it's a 12-team PPR mock with some of the industry guys and some folks from the NFL, and it's been very interesting to see where some of these rookies and new players have ended up. And I can promise you one thing, there is going to be a lot of rookie running backs picked in the top 60 overall selections in 2018, and as a guy who loves running backs, man, that is very exciting for me. That position is back.
Okay, first player out of the free agent class of this year that will be selected will be who and why?
Wow. I mean, you've got so many big names who change teams. I mean, Allen Robinson is going to be in the mix, clearly, when you look at his move to the Chicago Bears. He could end up being one of the top 50 picks overall from a fantasy perspective, you know, obviously Kirk Cousins is going to be one of the first quarterbacks picked. But even in this draft that I'm doing right now, you're seeing quarterbacks just left on the board until late. I believe my eighth round pick was Tom Brady. Eighth round. So the free agency frenzy that occurred in the offseason, though, I feel like isn't the biggest story. The biggest story is the continued revival of the running back position, and that's going to come through the draft. You're going to probably see 5 to 6 rookie running backs picked in the top 60 overall selections.
Let's go through this. Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network and NFL.com. In that, the rebirth of the running back, 5 or 6, as you say, in the top 60 rookie running backs. Why has the running back come back, in your opinion, to the NFL?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about this. This is something I predicted a couple of years ago, because you just saw the young talent at the position in the league. You know, it was right around the time when Ezekiel Elliott was drafted. David Johnson kind of busted out. Todd Gurley, one of the most talented running backs to come out of the draft in a long time, had a very good rookie season. And it just sort of snowballed, right? I mean, last year we saw Kareem Hunt put up a monster season. Leonard Fournette, we saw Alvin Kamara come in and surprise everyone with the impact that he made. Christian McCaffrey was one of the better PPR running backs. I believe he was 10th at the position in PPR leagues. And now you've got back-to-back rookie classes with a ton of talent at the position. So beyond Saquon Barkley, who's probably a first-round pick in redrafts, he was actually my first-round pick in this mock I had talked about. You've also got Rashad Penny, who goes to Seattle and looks to be the favorite for a featured role there, despite their offensive line woes. Touches are going to be plentiful for him. You're looking at a guy like Ronald Jones in Tampa Bay, who released Doug Martin and had a void in their backfield. Suddenly, he's going to be potentially a featured back. You've got Darius Geis, who dropped to the Redskins, and I project him to be their new starter, with Chris Thompson being the backup change of pace back who could potentially give you 50 catches out of the backfield. And don't forget about Sony Michel in New England, who suddenly looks like the favorite to be the top Patriots running back drafted after they lost Deion Lewis to the Tennessee Titans in the offseason. And maybe my favorite lesser named running back, which is going to change and probably has already started to change, is Royce Freeman. If there's a Kareem Hunt in this class, it's Royce Freeman. He's a potential three down back. He's built to be an NFL runner and a guy who can give you 250 touches plus as a rookie. And the Broncos released CJ Anderson, meaning Devontae Booker was the potential projected starter, but I don't believe that's going to be the case now. I believe Freeman is going to be the guy in that backfield. So just those 5 or 6 guys alone are going to warrant top 60 picks, especially if you're in PPR leagues. And you're also looking at more running backs who are versatile, right? I mean, so Darius Geis is not going to have a chance to catch a lot of passes, but he proved at his LSU Pro Day that he can be a good pass catcher. Sony Michel is a good pass catcher. Saquon Barkley can do it all, no question. Ronald Jones, I think, is a better pass catcher than people give him credit for. So when you have these young, versatile backs coming into the league, going to teams where opportunities are present, and most of those players went to teams where opportunities are present, you're going to see a real rise in terms of their value in fantasy drafts. If you do dynasty leagues, which I have one dynasty league that I do where it's basically just rookies who are being picked in drafts every year. I mean, if you're in a 10-team league or a 12-team league, you're going to see more than half of those first-round picks be running backs. And it's not even a question.
Before I get you out of here, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us, and a lot of good stuff there. Let's look local here at the Arizona Cardinals from free agency and the draft, and you look at their roster, you assume David Johnson is going to come back and be healthy. You know where Larry Fitzgerald is. Sort out these quarterbacks from a fantasy standpoint. Do you touch any of them? Or are they all free agent guys? And just the overall fantasy impact here with the Cardinals.
So, well, obviously, DJ is going to be the guy, top five pick. Larry Fitzgerald doesn't seem to age, just keeps getting better. In fact, in the mock draft that I'm in, is a PPR league, as I mentioned, and it's a 12-teamer, and I was able to get him. I believe he was my fourth-round pick as my number two wide receiver. I will take that all day long. I don't care who's throwing him the ball. Blaine Gabbert was throwing him the ball last year. Doesn't matter. Larry Fitzgerald is going to get his. And in terms of the wide receiver position, watch out for Christian Kirk, right? You've got some question marks behind Larry. You've got J.J. Nelson and you've got Bryce Butler. And Christian Kirk could potentially come right in there, fit into the slot, and give you 50 catches as a rookie, which is pretty good in this day and age. And the quarterback position, I don't know that any of the Cardinals' quarterbacks will be picked in redrafts. And it's not because there isn't talent there. I like Josh Rosen a lot. But the position is just so ridiculously deep around the league, especially when you have Deshaun Watson coming back from the ACL. I mean, fantasy owners know at this point that they're not drafting quarterbacks until the middle to late rounds, and you're still going to get great value. The best free agent acquisition of the offseason was Kirk Cousins, and he's going to be a late-round pick just because the quarterback position is ridiculously deep. So I don't see Sam Bradford being drafted. I do see Josh Rosen making starts for the Cardinals as a rookie because of one of two things. Either Sam Bradford is going to be ineffective at times, or he's going to suffer some sort of ailment because, let's be honest, Sam Bradford has not been the most durable dude since he's come into the league. But I do really think that the Cardinals have a bright future on the offensive side of the football with Josh, with Kirk, with David Johnson, all in the mix there. There's some good young talent there in the desert.
Let you go off that, Michael. As always, thanks for the time and the insight.
Bye, pal. Take care.
It's Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network and NFL.com. Great content there that you can check out. Appreciate the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So we haven't touched on the Diamondbacks yet, and I would say taking two of three from the weekend against the defending World Series champs when Paul Goldschmidt went 1-for-25, which he did, that's a pretty good weekend. And I also say that if you throw Cook out on the mound and you're able to get a victory, and the fact that he has beaten the Dodgers and Kershaw and Verlander and the Astros, that is something that hasn't happened since 1947. 1947 was the last time a pitcher beat the MVP on consecutive starts. I mean, that's just stunning. And when you see this sort of effort, and they bring in Buchholz, which will be interesting on the rotation side. Archie Bradley gets ejected over the weekend. It's a good week. It's a little bit of everything that makes the hometown nine interesting.
They still haven't lost a series.
Still haven't lost a series.
We're almost to mid-May, and they have not lost a series yet. Think about that.
And they finally split a series with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, but two or three from the Astros, that's huge.
Taking two or three from the Astros, and you face Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
And you found a way to beat one of them.
Mm-hmm. They had no chance on Friday.
But no chance on Friday, right.
Against Garrett Cole.
But you know, the idea of when is this going to fall apart for the team now? Far be it for me to sit here and rain on parades. I would never do that. I'm just merely one that would say, you know, you might want to look around a little bit before you get too excited. And I'm going to have to do that on today's show here a little bit. So the Diamondbacks are off to an amazing start. As Eric pointed out, they keep winning series. However, today they have just a 3.5-game lead over the Rockies. Now, at the start of the season, there was this theory that they're all going to beat up on each other in the NL West and that they're going to be a situation where 85 wins will probably win the division. Maybe you get one to 88 or 90. Well, as we're sitting here right now, a 3.5-game lead on the Rockies. The Rockies are coming off a 4-game sweep of Atlanta. Or the Giants are coming off 4-game sweep of Atlanta. That's my bad. The Rockies are coming off of a 5-game winning streak. The Giants are figuring it out. They got some news this morning that Johnny Cueto has a strained elbow. He's going to be out about 6 weeks. They've had injuries, but they've had a lot of offense. And so the Giants are just hanging around too. And you can't sit here and feel as though that this is going to continue for the Diamondbacks throughout the season from a pitching standpoint. Let's just talk starting pitching standpoint. You know, when Robbie Ray comes back, Taiwan Walker is not coming back. Cook pitched well yesterday. Can he keep it up for an entire season? Are we getting to a spot where you look at the Diamondbacks saying, are they a team built for the regular season or are they a team built for the postseason? But what I mean by that is, do the Diamondbacks have a big three that they can throw in the postseason? You felt like last year with Robbie Ray and Zach Greinke, I wasn't even really counting on Patrick Corbin last season in the postseason as much. This year, Pat Corbin's my number one guy. I can't say Greinke's pitched like a number one or a number two. And Robbie Ray, we simply don't know. My point in this is it's great to have a team that is playing as well as the Diamondbacks are. And they're fun to watch. They're interesting. They're exciting. They have some grit guys about them. Daniel Descalzo's a grit guy. I like him. Archie Bradley's a grit guy. However, you look at their pitching and say they've got to do some things here as the season progresses. They're just going to have to do some things because the Rockies are going to catch up to them. They're playing in a ballpark that you just get that ball in the air, it takes off. It's going to come down to the head-to-heads. It's going to come down to who takes the series at Colorado. The fact they're playing the Dodgers again tomorrow, I'm sick of seeing the Dodgers. I love seeing a Diamondback-Dodgers series in September. I've seen the Dodgers so much here in the first 6 weeks, I'm kind of done with them. And they shut Kershaw down, put him on the 10-day. You know, they're going through their struggles right now. The other stuff that's going on here locally, outside of on the baseball front. So the Diamondbacks are off tonight. I have nothing to watch tonight. I may find myself being drug into Dancing with the Stars athlete version simply for show prep to make fun of them. Eric, you should watch that tonight. Roll the DVR. Bring it back in. But I also have the NBA playoffs. Here's the thing. The first playoff game today is Boston and Philly. They play that game at 6 p.m. Philadelphia time. I got playoff basketball today at 3. I can't remember the last time on a weekday that I've got a 3 o'clock tip time to watch what's been a very entertaining series. Brad Stevens' out-of-bounds play the other night was terrific. The 76ers crapped the bed. They played like a team without a lot of experience, and it was J.J. Redick who threw the ball away at the end. Joel Embiid, to see him drive to the hole and throw it down opposite hand. The Celtics without Kyrie Irving, the Celtics without Gordon Hayward all year. Danny Ainge has been a terrific, terrific general manager, basketball operation, president, whatever title you want to give him. He's pushed all the right buttons. He hired the right coach in Brad Stevens. He's put together a roster that is terrific. The other game, you know, Cleveland and Toronto is not that entertaining to me on the surface, but every game has been close. If you miss this, here's LeBron the other night. This is LeBron. Remember, LeBron before the series started against the Cavaliers or the Raptors said, "I'm tired." So this is what a tired LeBron does again.
Now the big thing is make sure you do not foul anybody here on the dribble. It's going to be James. Yeah, here it is.
It's a good radio call.
3 seconds to go.
It froze.
Throws up the floater.
And Eric's about to off himself. Anyways, LeBron, it froze on Eric. Poor Eric. A fail on a Monday, it happens.
Let's try it one more
time. You want to try it again?
Might as well.
Should I bail you out? Yeah, go ahead.
I'll try this.
Go ahead, guys. Try it again. Here we go.
Because it's going to take them a while to get the ball up the floor. They're going to lose at least 3 seconds getting it over half court.
You failed again.
Now the big thing is make sure.
Let's dive out of it. It's all right.
Yeah, we're not going to do that anymore.
It's Monday.
I had an incident last week. It's not a good way to start a Monday.
It's a Monday. Eric will beat himself up for
technology.
Hours.
Why do you do it to me?
You're done.
Well, anyway, like what you and I can talk about, because my friends and I were watching it on Saturday night, and
you knew what was going to happen.
We both thought you, me, and everyone in this building could go out to a basketball court and try to emulate LeBron's shot. and we could each do it 25 times, and I guarantee you maybe one of us would make it.
You want to try it again?
Okay. You're driving you're driving with your opposite hand.
You want to try showing it again?
No. You're driving with your opposite hand. Everyone's seen it by now.
Yeah. All right.
And you're shooting off the wrong foot,
yeah.
falling out of bounds.
It's called playing horse. That's what you do when you play horse.
Off the glass.
You call that.
No pressure.
Off my off leg, off the glass. See if you can do this.
But still, LeBron is overrated, and people are hating on him, and he's not Jordan, well, and blah, 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 blah. You take LeBron off the Cavs, and you know who you have? You have the Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
It's true.
It's a little harsh.
I mean, look at his cast.
Kind of mean. I would take their team over what they've got here.
Of course, but my point is, I mean, you have Kevin Love, you have a stand-up, you have a spot-up shooter in Kyle Korver, and then you just have a bunch of guys.
You have a bunch of guys.
Have a bunch of random NBA players. And they're almost to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Here's the thing on this. Jordan did not grow up in the age of social media. So Jordan would have got hammered by people, too.
I'm sure.
The thing that has happened with social, which is bad, is that everybody has got an opinion, which sounds great on the surface, but it just allows every last person who's jealous or who does hate, and there are those people, it allows people that want to bring race into the equation. It allows people that want to bring up anything that has nothing at all to do with talent and skill on the basketball court. Kobe Bryant was at the end of that era, the end of the time where there was not the social media where people could just hammer away on him every single last moment for every single last thing he does. I love watching. I was thinking about this morning. I've been fortunate that in my time, I've been able to see Tiger Woods and people hammer away on Tiger Woods. And some of it, yes, if you want to question off the court stuff or off the course stuff, yeah. Yeah, he's going to get hammered for some of that. But I've been fortunate to see Michael Jordan in his prime and his peak in college and pro. I've been fortunate enough. We actually started hearing about LeBron when he was at Vincennes back in the day, back in the high school time. And then we saw LeBron at his peak, and supposedly LeBron is starting to fade. It's like Larry Fitzgerald. I've seen Larry Fitzgerald since he was a little dopey kid coming out of Pitt, and you see where he is now. But there are people that don't want to give him all the credit in the world, even though he deserves it. He's kind of flown under the radar screen on this whole social media thing. So, Eric, you're right. There are people that want to hate away on him. It's like hating away on Kevin Durant. Why would Draymond Green? Why would people hate away on Draymond Green because he plays with an edge? That's what you need. You have to have some grit guys. And it's why teams like the Warriors and the Cavaliers may be on a collision course. I don't know if Boston has nearly enough to get by Cleveland. Cleveland has the greatest player who's exerting an awful lot of energy to get through Toronto. I know today's a great day because at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to have playoff basketball. I'm not going to have to wait till 4:30 or 5. And then tonight, I've got Cleveland and Toronto again. If Utah loses one more game, if Utah loses tomorrow night, I would think Wednesday we would have a coaching hire by the Suns. They would have a press conference, and Igor would come to town, and they would move on. So, but tonight, because what I care about is what do we have here tonight? We got nothing tonight outside of the playoffs, which is fine by me. I will watch that. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Jared is the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces this fine program, even when he has a computer that blows up on him. Haley and Jordan got in the way today, too. They kind of showed up and meandered around. I'm Brad Sussman. Enjoy your day.